Welcome to Let's Talk About Health podcast, where we promote healthy habits and empower individuals and families to live their best life. I'm your host, Dr. Chandra Basil. This is Let's Talk About Health podcast episode number 5. Humans are emotional beings, part 5. Who am I? I've created this podcast to provide health tips and education and to discuss important and relevant topics. When we talk about health, it's important to recognize the interconnectedness of our mind, body, and spirit. Your mental health and spiritual health are just as important as your physical health. Today is the last episode of the current series called Humans Are Emotional Beings, which is focused on mental health. In the past 4 episodes, we've discussed depression, anxiety, mental challenges in motherhood, and mental health of our children. If you missed the previous episodes, I encourage you to go back and listen. Today's episode is focused on identity. Why identity? When do you have an identity? Who am I? What is my purpose? These are all very deep questions, and attempting to answer these questions is tough. And we usually start asking ourselves these questions at a very young age. I'm the oldest of my siblings. I have 2 younger sisters, and there has been a lot of research done related to birth order and typical characteristics related to what order you're born in your family. So being the oldest, some of the characteristics that I found were things like responsible, confident, conscientious, natural born leaders, often having authority over their younger siblings and taking on a surrogate parent type role. They also have a tendency to be bossy and want things done their own way. Older children tend to be perfectionists, sometimes even worriers, and put a lot of pressure on themselves to succeed. And I find these characteristics very interesting because as the oldest of my family, I can relate to several of these things. When I think back to my childhood, and some of the things that maybe contributed to my identity at a young age, I think about the types of things that I did as a kid or that I was good at. In school, I was athletic. I played a lot of different sports. I was part of the popular crowd, and I did pretty well in school. I got decent grades. These are kinds of things that as adults don't really seem to matter much to us, but as children, they really play a major role in our confidence, in our early development of identity. I also think about some of the more difficult times that I encountered as a child, and one of the major events would have been when my parents got divorced. And I was an early teenager at the time, and I think looking back that I handled it fairly well, but it definitely impacted me in ways that I didn't realize at the time, and really probably still has some lasting effects that I had to be careful about and recognize in my own personal relationships, and especially in my relationship with my husband and how we handle disagreements and things like that. But it did shape me as an adult in regards to learning independence and self-sufficiency and really what I was capable of even at that young age, because my mom was working full-time and I had a lot more responsibility as a result of our family kind of being divided. And so there were good things and bad things that came from that. In addition to that, you know, I think back about some of the other things that I struggled with as a kid. And really, it's kind of funny because I think it does relate to some of those oldest child sort of characteristics. But I do feel like I struggled with this feeling that I had to please everyone and impress everyone all the time. Just that sense of needing to be perfect and not make mistakes, which I know is impossible, but yet that's how I felt and even sometimes still feel. I was pretty hard on myself, even, you know, through my high school years when I was trying to decide what I wanted to do with my life and, you know, deciding to go to school to be a doctor and all of those things. But when it came to failures and losses, I was definitely more critical of myself than others tended to be. I did get better at that over time, but a big part of that was in surrounding myself with people who loved me and supported me and were willing to be honest with me and hold me accountable. And that really made a huge difference in my life in helping me to develop my identity and recognize the things that were true and the things that were not true and really things that were just completely unattainable. In my high school years, I really leaned into my faith and my religious beliefs to find my identity and purpose. And those years of my life have really made a lifelong impact. I've learned to recognize my insecurities, and although I don't always handle them well, I know what most of them are at this point, and I think that I do handle them much better, and I lean on my identity based in Christ and in who I am in Him rather than myself and my own insufficiencies. And so that has been a big deal for me, and I think that those things are different for everyone. But definitely part of that spiritual health that I've mentioned from time to time. Our identity can also be heavily influenced by our circumstances, our experiences, wins and losses, our successes and failures, etc. So when I think about some of those wins and those things that really positively impacted my identity, I think about when I got accepted into medical school. That was a pretty big deal for me. I spent a lot of time and effort and really had a lot of failures and disappointments that led up to that. But that was a very positive, reassuring moment for me in my confidence and really in my life goals. I also think about, you know, graduating medical school, and those were, you know, some really big wins in my life. But like I said, also, you know, lots of failures and disappointments in between there. And so some of those things also impact our identity and our beliefs about ourselves. A while back, I listened to a discussion with Dr. Andy Yarbrough about this topic, and it was so powerful. He's a clinical psychologist and is the co-owner, along with his wife Melody, of the Well Clinic in Prairieville, Los Angeles. I'll include the video link to his talk in the show notes below because it was really fantastic, but I'm going to talk about some of the things that I learned from his discussion. And according to Dr. Andy, there are two different types of identity. We have an objective and a subjective. The objective identity is made up of facts, and it's the part of our identity that's pretty easy to comprehend. But the subjective identity is made up of what we believe about ourselves. Most people struggle with the subjective part of their identity and sometimes confuse it with the objective portion. So let's take weight, for example. The number itself is pretty objective. You get on a scale and that number is your weight. But the subjective part of it is what you believe about yourself as a result of your weight. And I think weight is something that has a huge impact on identity because it's something that we see. It's something that people quickly associate with you because it's visual. Whether you be overweight or underweight, it can have a huge impact on your identity and how you feel about yourself, your insecurities. Or maybe weight isn't really a concern for you. So how about success? Oftentimes people compare themselves to others and sometimes measure their success by the level of income or how much stuff you have or don't have compared to someone else. There's a saying that you may have heard, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. This could be applied to your identity. Check your objective identity before you drown yourself in the subjective identity. So what your coworker makes, whether that be more money than you, or if maybe they just have a nicer car than you, does that really mean that you're a failure because you don't have those things? No. Let's say you have a bigger house than your sibling. Does that mean you're more successful than they are? No, not necessarily. There are many things that affect our subjective identity. And in these examples, the subjective identity depends on the person's outlook, what they believe about themselves based on the circumstance. So again, back to this extremely non-medical advice, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Sometimes it's really hard to do that self-assessment. You need help. I need help oftentimes. So much of our identity can be found in what we read, what we listen to, who we're spending time with. So Are you surrounding yourself with people who are constantly complaining or speak badly of others? Are you watching reality TV shows where all these wealthy families have all this drama? Do you find yourself spending hours on social media and comparing yourself with everyone else and constantly feeling down and depressed about it? I've caught myself doing these things at times, and I can quickly recognize the impact it has on my identity and how it makes me feel and believe about myself. While scrolling on Facebook or Instagram doesn't change my objective identity, who I actually am, it can certainly impact my subjective identity and what I think about myself. I've made an intentional effort to surround myself with positive, healthy, uplifting people. I choose to listen to music that calms me down, that makes me happy, that's encouraging to me. And I know that when I don't do those things, or I spend more time with people in my life that tend to be more negative, or if I'm listening to music that's really just kind of garbage, I can recognize the change in my attitude, the change in my conversations, and the change in what I'm believing about myself as a result of those things. They really have a bigger impact than I think we like to admit sometimes. Our identity is always in something or someone. And Dr. Andy talks about this like a mirror reflecting back to you. Oftentimes, our relationships and experiences are the mirror. And what gets reflected back to us is ultimately what impacts what we believe about ourselves. Some of the common reflections that influence our identity include things like our achievements, friendships, sexuality, acceptance, trauma, abandonment, failure. Hopefully you get the idea. If we continue with the mirror analogy, we go through this cycle of looking into the mirror through an experience, seeing the reflection and applying meaning to that experience, and then putting on what we see, which is your belief as a result of that experience. And this is a continuous cycle that we go through. What we put on represents what's really going on inside of us. Dr. Andy talks about this and how what we put on actually indicates our position, what we stand for, what we align with, and what we're in agreement with as a result of that reflection in the mirror. It's also important that I point out that suppressing your experiences and feelings is not the solution. According to Dr. Andy, all feelings should be validated, and I totally agree. Just because you acknowledge an experience doesn't mean you agree with it. You're not saying that what happened was okay. Validation is not the same as agreement, but it is important to process these feelings and experiences so that you can, first of all, heal emotionally and maybe even physically, but also so that you can process the experience and determine what meaning that experience will have and how it will impact who you are. We need to be aware of our feelings, learn to regulate and understand them, and also learn how to respond rather than react to them. If you feel angry, don't be reactive to that feeling. Think about why you feel angry. What led to this emotion? Is it justified? Is it misplaced? Is it even true? How can you use this feeling in a productive way rather than in a destructive way? An experience or a feeling does not always equal reality. A child may feel like their mother doesn't love them because she didn't give them what they wanted, but that doesn't mean it's true. We frequently pay more attention to the negative things in our life rather than the positive. Psychology calls this the negativity bias. Some think it's a protective mechanism created to help us survive, but what we know is that unfortunately it becomes our focus. Dr. Andy talks about trying to be aware of the negative so that you can reframe it. We may not have the ability to change our experience, but we do have the ability to change the meaning. It's not the experience that defines us. It's the meaning we apply to our experience. It's also very important to determine the source of that meaning. Is your source based on a cultural or societal norm? Is it your abuser or based on your values and religious beliefs? The source of the meaning matters, and if the source is not good, reject it and redefine the meaning of your experience. perspective matters, and it can be very helpful to get the perspective of others when you're having a hard time identifying the source and/or finding a new meaning. I've mentioned throughout the series that our mental and spiritual health is just as important as our physical health. If you are mentally unhealthy, this can cause you to become physically unhealthy. It can actually make your body sick. Your depression can decrease your immune system, cause you to lose weight, affect your sleep, and make you more sensitive to pain, among other things. If you struggle in your spiritual health, this can affect your mental and physical health. If you have no hope or purpose, you're more likely to suffer from depression, anxiety, or other mental health disorders. And without purpose, you lose the motivation, and then you neglect your physical body. Physical, mental, and spiritual health are interconnected, and they're equally important. So when we talk about identity, I think it often falls within the realm of mental and spiritual health because our identity and purpose are so closely linked. I'm sure you've probably heard the term, you are who you hang around with, or you are who you surround yourself with. Why do people say that? Well, because we are influenced by others. We're human. Recognize the influence others can have in your life and cut out the people who negatively impact you and surround yourself with people who make you better. Let's recap, because I know it can be overwhelming to think about. Your objective identity is usually simple. It's the facts. But your subjective identity can get pretty complicated. You have to dig deep into your past and present experiences, relationships, and beliefs in order to sort out who you are. The experience is the mirror, the reflection is the meaning, and the clothing is the identity. Finding the source for the meaning you apply to your experiences helps you to reframe the experience and redefine the meaning so that it influences your beliefs about who you are in a positive way. Thanks for listening to Let's Talk About Health. If you like the show, please subscribe. And if you want to learn more or are interested in the resources mentioned in today's show, check out the links below. Be sure to like my page on Facebook and follow me on Instagram to join the conversation. I'd love to hear your feedback, so please leave a review on iTunes. Also, keep an eye out on Facebook for this month's giveaway.